this morning, I want to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to come back, and we'll get ready to roll in 1 Timothy chapter 4 today. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege we have to gather to sing such powerful lyrics about you and your son Jesus and what the blood of Christ does for dead, desperate, Lord, sinners in need of a Savior. And Father, we understand today that this world is looking to make itself right. We all know in this world that things aren't right, but there are so many worldviews, so many ways of thinking about things that, Lord, do not look to you and your eternal truth. And so, God, today I pray, as we have sung, that there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is amazing grace that will save a wretch like me and like you. And, God, I pray that I will be faithful in proclaiming the truths of your eternal word, O God, today. And I pray that you would touch young hearts, Lord, that are being drawn to the truth. I pray that you would open eyes and transform hearts and save souls today. And I pray that you would feed your church with the meat of the Word of God today. I pray, God, that you would be glorified in this now, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Brothers and sisters, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you will turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this will be part one of our series in these five verses. The second message, I believe, is going to be on Mother's Day, so I'm going to change the title for that. So from the mystery of ungodliness, we'll change the title, but I think it'll still fit in great for Mother's Day. Also on Mother's Day, and this is not in the bulletin, but we will be doing our family dedication service on Mother's Day. So if you have had a child since last May, please, we'll have the forms out this Wednesday night, and you can get those forms, and we can prepare for the dedication of you and your family on Mother's Day. So please remember that. That is coming up hard and fast upon us, is our family dedication Sunday on Mother's Day. Next week, we will be having a graduate recognition breakfast at 8 o'clock in the CLC. And if you're planning to come to that and have family members come, please let us know. We need to know. Miss Rachel Greer and Mrs. Amanda Barry are kind of heading that up, and we need to know just how many eggs and how many pieces of bacon and sausage and biscuits and gravy and casseroles to have for the graduate recognition breakfast this coming Sunday, next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. There'll also be, in lieu of your community group, there'll be a devotion given by Pastor Jared at that event, I believe, next Sunday morning as well. And so we'll enjoy the fellowship and the food. And then during the 10 o'clock worship service, there'll be a recognition. We have 12 graduates that have turned their information in at this point. And you, as I said Wednesday night, will be razzle-dazzled at what we've got this year as far as graduates. And I'm not going to say any more about it because we're going to surprise you with that. But it's good stuff, and these are exciting days for these young people. And we also will have a part of that service will be in commissioning Kaylee to go. She will be going to the IMB for training and service. And so she, the young lady that led the had the lead in the choir special, will be leaving and going to Richmond, Virginia, for training with the International Mission Board very soon. And so we want to have a special time of prayer and commissioning for her as she goes into that venture. And in a sense, we're commissioning all these graduates to go into their vocations and serve the Lord in whatever field that is as well. But next Sunday is going to be a special, special day. This morning, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, we'll focus our attention on verses 1 and 2, but want to read verses 1 through 5 this morning. If you got it, say, I got it. All right, that's good. Chapter 4, verse 1, "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, by the hypocrisy of liars who have been seared in their own conscience, who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God created to be shared in with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And the Apostle Paul here is in these verses explaining what we call the mystery of ungodliness. If you back up in your Bible to one verse there, the end of chapter 3, I want you to see it, because this is very crucial. This is kind of the centerpiece of the letter, if you will. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, we see Paul laying out a doctrinal confession of the early church about Jesus Christ, the one whom we gather today to worship. We worship the Father through the Son as enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. We have a triune God. It's beyond explanation, but we know it is true. The Bible teaches it, and it aligns, the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that God's Word is true. But in 1 Timothy 3:16, notice what Paul has written to Timothy. And remember, he's encouraging his young son in the faith. He has a very difficult ministry assignment where he is in Ephesus. There are people, false teachers, who are sowing seeds of false doctrine in this church, and they're older than Timothy to boot. And so he's having a difficult time as he is facing the challenge before him where Paul has assigned him for gospel ministry. But in chapter 3 and verse 16, we see the mystery of godliness. And we saw this two Sundays ago, but go back to verse 16. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh, Jesus, was vindicated in the spirit, Jesus, seen by angels, Jesus, proclaimed among the nations, Jesus, believed on in the world, Jesus, taken up in glory. This is an early doctrinal confession of faith about the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, holiness is not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to holiness. Godliness is not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to godliness. And this understanding of who he is and what he has done, as we have powerfully sung this morning in our songs of the faith, as we have sung from beginning to right now as the sermon is beginning, we have heard through the music this morning this powerful message of who Jesus Christ is. And listen, what he will do for the sinner that will repent of their sin and believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. And so we see the mystery of godliness, and now Timothy is being warned about the mystery of ungodliness in these five verses. And since the fall of man into sin in Genesis chapter 3, the earth has been the battleground between God and Satan. God is calling man to respond to his word, to his truth. And Satan is trying to lure man to follow after lies. And because of that, there are some people who profess to follow God's truth for a while, and then they come to a point in their life where they turn away from it. And today, this is something that is called deconstruction. And we see that it's becoming a popular trend with contemporary Christian musicians and pastors and other celebrities who are saying that I am a Christian for a moment of time, and then they are gone from the Christian faith, and they can do great harm, because we tend to put a lot of credit and value to people, to singers and to actors and to popular evangelical even pastors in that moment of time, or perhaps it's some type of musician who is saved out of paganism, we believe, and so they declare, and then months or years later they end up departing from the faith and denying that they have been a Christian at all. And then sometimes you have this effect, that they depart from the faith in their behavior, but they say they still believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, and yet the way that they live is contrary to what the Bible teaches. churches. I mean, Christians have a code of conduct laid out in Scripture that we are to adhere to as born-again children of God. We don't get to make the rules up as our culture changes and as we begin to think about things a little differently. God has established what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. We have no opportunity, we have no right to alter what God has declared righteous and what God has declared to be unrighteous. And so there's this battle that is raging today. And we see people who say, grow up in church, come to faith, quote unquote, make a decision, sign a card, raise a hand, say a prayer, are on the rolls of churches, and yet they never think biblically about anything. They have no true delight in the worship of God. And brothers and sisters, I want to say today that that is a sad state of affairs for us today. Because if we're going to believe the Bible, and that's our aim, you may not be able to explain every little issue and question from this book, but you believe this book. It is important that you understand why you believe this book. One of our emphases in Vacation Bible School, by the way, if you're going to help with that this summer, we would love to have you meet, I think, Chad and some of the workers up here at the front this morning just to kind of get a head count for those who might want to help with recreation and the snacks and all these things. We just need to kind of get a count for teachers and all those things for VBS. I think that's in your bulletin this morning, just to throw that commercial in the midst of this thing. But brothers and sisters, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. And then we are enabled by the Spirit to tell others why we believe that truth. And we're able to show them in Scripture why we believe that truth. We need to learn the basics of biblical Christianity all over again. It's as if Vince Lombardi is going to the Green Bay Packers and he says, okay, gentlemen, this is a football. You start with the basics. And in our age today, with so many departing from the faith, getting to a certain age and stage in life, and they walk away from the Christian faith, we must build that foundation of biblical truth more firmly than we have in the past. We need, listen, to take every moment, if you're rocking them in the nursery, whisper Scripture in their ear and pray over that child. There is a spiritual battle that is raging. We don't want more ex-evangelicals. This is a term coined by Kevin Max of DC Talk. He said, I'm an ex-evangelical. It's how he described himself. Joshua Harris, the pastor in the Sovereign Grace Ministry churches years back, very popular, rose in popularity in evangelical Christendom to a very high level. He wrote the book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Many people back in the late 90s, early 2000s or so will remember that book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And he's making a biblical argument how the current dating situation today leads into trouble. All right? It leads into promiscuity, into sexual immorality, and it's not a healthy place for us to be. I Kiss Dating Goodbye. Well, now he's kissed Christianity goodbye. That's where Josh Harris is, and he's a very vocal non-Christian advocating for a belief beyond Christianity today. And so these things are happening, and listen, we need to be concerned about that. I mean, my faith is strengthened in my community group. My faith is strengthened as we gather and sing in corporate worship. My faith is strengthened as we engage in our house in family worship. Danny Paul, Mary Grace, Pam, and myself, as we read the Scripture, listen to sermons, listen to video clips, we talk about issues. My faith is strengthened. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, Romans 10:17. We all need our faith strengthened. This is why regular, consistently gathering with the people of God on the Lord's Day is, listen, not optional for you. It is absolutely essential for you if you're going to be a healthy Christian. It is how God designed it. Again, I didn't write the mail. I'm just delivering it. Amen. But I'm not going up on my stamps, okay? But this is an important topic this morning, and we have to keep the big picture, 1 Timothy, in view as we dive into these first two verses together today. But Paul was writing, and he wrote these verses to Timothy, his son of faith, to encourage him to remain faithful to his calling and to remain faithful to the truth of God. And I believe that the living God is encouraging us here at Crawford Baptist Church to remain faithful to our calling and to the truth that has been once for all handed down to the saints. Those are easy words for a preacher to say. It's another animal altogether in living that out. Because not just are your children bombarded 24/7 with social media and TikTok and YouTube videos and YouTube shorts and Instagram and Snapchat and whatever else has been concocted to weaken us and distract us. A big part of this is distraction. And so, listen, when we're not able to focus upon God and His Word, we're being distracted by worldly things. And so we need to refocus, church, on this. God is calling me. God is calling you as a Christian in this room to remain faithful to the call to you. He's calling you to be faithful to the truth of God that has once for all been handed down to the saints. Here's our big idea for this Sunday morning. And we'll conclude this, I believe, on Mother's Day. But here's the big idea. In order not to be deceived, and that's our goal. We don't want to be deceived. In order not to be deceived and fall away from the faith, notice this last part. We must cultivate the discipline of delighting in God's truth. Okay? That's very significant because we spend time having discipline and cultivating discipline in so many things in this life. For some people, it's their GPA. I've got to have that GPA. It's got to be 4.0 or today, 6.7, whatever it can be today. I don't know. You know, it's beyond 4.0 for some people now, right? Interestingly. But it's all about my identity is my academics. It's my GPA. It's my grades. I have to have this. And I come to college deserving all A's just for having paid the tuition. We focus on our sports today, certainly one of the gods of this age. And we invest in things, yes, that I love. I love sports. I enjoy sports. But you've heard this statistic too. It is 0.02% chance that your child will play professional sports one day, but it is 100% chance they're going to stand and bow the knee before King Jesus. I am not anti-sport, but when sports become a god and sports become the dominant center of your life, it's your identity. What are you going to do when you stop swinging the bat and spiking the ball and swinging the club? Or carrying the ball, or catching the running the yards as a running back, or whatever it may be. What are you going to do then? Remember, there's an eternity that you and I all are going to be in. When the sun has ceased to shine, we will still be alive. Our souls will be alive in either heaven or hell. There are two alternatives, and today we're suggesting Jesus Christ as Lord in your life, and He bringing purpose to your life, not art. Although art is wonderful, sports, wonderful, baking, wonderful. Got to smell a lot of good things last night at the youth bake preparation for the bake sale today. It's wonderful. I cannot have my identity. You know, my identity would probably be eating. Yes, I mean, I give directions by restaurants. They're having surgery behind the Texas Roadhouse, or, you know, it's across from Arby's, or it's, you know, the Chick-fil-A on Dolphin, or it's behind that. It's where I'm going to the neurologist, or whatever it would be. I give directions by places, establishments that are dedicated to selling food, right? My identity would probably be food, but it's not. My identity is Christ. My identity is not as an educator. My identity is not just as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a professor. My identity ultimately is in Christ, because one day, all these other things will cease, except for our relationship with Christ. And so what we're talking about today is we must, church, begin to refocus on the basics of the Christian faith, which 1 Timothy helps us do that in a pretty good significant way. So we do not want to be deceived and fall away from the faith. We must cultivate the discipline of delighting in God's truth. And I look forward to investigating that statement with you in weeks to come, more in depthly. But today, we want to look at verses 1 and 2 in 1 Timothy chapter 4, so please keep your Bibles open. And notice, we're going to talk today about we must not depart from the truth. Now, the next message, we're going to talk about we must not distort the truth, because this is what false teachers do. They distort the truth. And we have some specific examples in the text, and we'll bring others in from our culture when we get to that couple of weeks as well. But we must not distort the truth. We must delight in the truth is my third point, which we will conclude when we return back to this passage of Scripture in 2 weeks. All right, but this morning, point number one, and it's a big one, we must not depart from the truth. Look in chapter 4, verse 1. But the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, explicitly, clearly, forcefully says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith. So the Holy Spirit's warning us, okay? He's given us a warning. This warning's been on the pages of Scripture now for 2,000 years, that some people, not all people, but some people are going to fall away from the Christian faith, from the essential core doctrines and beliefs of the Christian faith. People are going to fall away. We see that happening in our very day. That little term, fall away, is a purposeful, deliberate departure from a former position. There are people who will say, yes, I believe in the Bible. I believe that Jesus is God in human flesh. I believe in the triune God. I believe that Jesus was sinless. I believe in a personal, real devil. I believe that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are people who will say they believe these truths, which are all truths that we hear and see, sing and preach from the Bible, and we teach our children in our homes. Our homes will be local churches scattered throughout our neighborhoods as Pastor Dad engages the wife and the children with the Word of God, and you sing and you pray and you take it seriously. It is not enough just to fuel up on Sunday morning. It's just got to be more than that. If we're going to stand the fierce opposition of the enemy today, listen, parents, you're going to have to start taking this seriously, if you haven't already. It doesn't take much for you or your children to be deceived. This is not playtime. When you come to church, whether you're a child or whether you're a youth or whatever you are, this is not playtime. One of the big questions that you should not ask your children when you pick them up is, did you have fun tonight? We're not here for fun. Now, can you have fun? Yes. But a fun that's defined by the truth of the Word of God. Listen, they can have fun at the ballpark. They can have fun in your backyard. When they come here, you should expect them to be poured into the truth of God's Word and prayed over, and for the Holy Spirit to seal that and apply it to their hearts. There are young people in this room today, and I believe God is drawing you. I believe He is speaking to hearts and minds today. Maybe you never really grew up in church, but you have been coming for a time or two, or maybe this is your first day, but you just sense something here that's true and real and powerful, and I need to get in on it. And listen, that means God is drawing you to Himself. So listen to the truth, receive the truth, believe the truth, look to the truth, cast your soul upon the truth of God's Word. Falling away from the faith today is known as apostasy. That's the old biblical word, apostasy. The current term is deconstruction, as I mentioned in the introduction. But what it is people are paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. What that means, y'all, is the mystery of ungodliness is at work. The spirit of the evil one is at work. And many in the Western world, we deny his existence. You know, it's often been said, many commentaries had this week as I read them, you make two big wrong emphases concerning Satan and demons. One is you got Satan behind every chair and behind every bush and under every rock, and we give him way too much credit. And the other one is we dismiss him altogether. He's probably happier with us just dismissing him altogether than he still does his insidious work within hearts and lives. He damns souls. He destroys families and marriages. He contaminates our minds. He'll rip out your heart and stomp all over it. And mamas and daddies in this room, it's time for you to get on your face before God and seek his intervention in your life, in your family's life. We're living in days where people professing to be Christian contradict the word of God as if it were nothing. But sin is a serious matter. Every sin is a serious matter. And we have all been acculturated to not seeing it that way. We just slide in and we slide out, and we're not allowing the word of God to impact us and hit us in our guts, as it were. We need to hear God speaking. And the thing is, the mystery of ungodliness is at work. Deceitful spirits, right? Demons cause people to wander away from the truth. And these deceitful spirits, they corrupt a person's thinking, and they result in demon-inspired doctrines or teachings. That's where they come from. False teaching doesn't come from human achievement and invention. It comes from demonic inspiration. See, not all inspiration is a good thing. I mean, just because you're sensing something spiritual going on in your life does not mean it's from the Holy Spirit. Not at all. But nevertheless, we are in a spiritual war. It is a supernatural war. And listen, do not be deceived. No one is exempt from this war. You may think, well, you know, we're doing well. My kids are doing pretty good. And thank God for that. Okay? I thank God for that. But you cannot dismiss the battle that you're in. Because next week this time, it may not be going so well. And we must, beloved, have this discipline, cultivate the discipline of delighting in God's truth in our worship gatherings, in our community groups, in our interactions with others outside off this campus, in your engaging with lost people in the community. Listen, we have got to step up our evangelism and our efforts. We all need to dedicate, sacrifice, yield some of our personal time for the propagation of the gospel in this community. Find a ministry. Start a ministry. You are a minister of the gospel, male and female. You're ministers. I'm not talking about being the pastor of a church. I'm talking about if you're saved, you're saved to proclaim Christ. I am and you are. The job of the pastors of this church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we are called to do in Ephesians 4:11-12. And just remember this, just because someone opens a Bible and quotes a verse doesn't mean that he's speaking for God. Satan misquotes, misapplies scripture all the time, and he makes it sound so appealing. We have to be extremely vigilant and on guard. You see, people claiming to be pastors back in Paul and Timothy's day, they were intentionally lying about God's truth, and they were not feeling any guilt or remorse about it. This is what he means there in verse 2 by the hypocrisy of, listen, liars. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be so sensitive to the Spirit that when you think something that's not in alignment with God's word, when you say something or do something or you don't do something you should do that God is commanding you to do in his word, I told someone on the phone yesterday, I can't remember who it was. I said, you know, there's just some things you don't have to pray about. It's just black ink on white paper. We don't have to pray about it if it's already on black ink on. That's God telling you already. right? One thing I would hope is you will not be a liar, that you will not be a deceitful person. Satan is the father of all liars. You are no more like Satan than when you lie and when you seek to intentionally harm other people by assassinating their character, spreading gossip, saying hurtful things when you know it will hurt them. That's who Satan is. We are to be shaped in the image of Christ, not in the image of Satan. These creatures. It says there that by the hypocrisy, in other words, Paul is calling these false teachers liars. Because they're claiming to be Christian, but they're not teaching Christian doctrine. But notice that second part of verse 2, who have been seared in their own conscience. Kind of like when you have something cauterized and there's no more feeling in there. They've lost feeling for truth in their conscience. They're pretending to be Christians. They've influenced other people. And yet they have no conviction over sin in their own life anymore. That's what we see in these verses. As I was reflecting this week on these verses, this is where I hit the brakes a little bit. And slowed down. Because I was thinking, you know, these are some scary verses. I mean, the question, how can a Christian walk away from the Christian faith? How can a true blood-bought, as we've had in the song, washed in the blood, you know, been to the river and been baptized, how can a true, genuine Christian walk away from the Christian faith? How can a Christian deconstruct his Christian faith? How can that happen? The biblical answer, again, is he cannot. And listen carefully. It's in the notes if you happen to have those. And thank you, Ms. Sherrill, for putting copies out on the table. Apostasy does not mean that believers who have saving faith can lose it. Apostasy does not mean that. This would be impossible since every sinner who receives the gift of saving faith is preserved by the Holy Spirit until the day of Christ. The Apostle Paul says it, Philippians 1:6, it's in your notes. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit begins that work of drawing you and granting you faith and repentance, and you respond to the glories of Christ, and you experience forgiveness and the joy and the peace that comes. Listen, this is real, and maybe you're in this room and you've only experienced religion, and religion is not the real thing. It is that relationship with God. I'm not opposed to calling Christianity religion. It is. But again, eternal life is that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17:3. Christianity is a living relationship with the God of this universe. I want you to flip over to John chapter 10 for a moment. Would you do that? This was important. I thought it would be good for you to flip there. John chapter. I want you to see these verses as we think about my thesis. I'm saying to you that one who is truly saved cannot lose their salvation. They may wander off into sin. And listen, there are people that we know and love, members of our family, church family, members of your family, who have gone off into different sins. They've abandoned a wife and children. Or they've abandoned a husband and children, or they have gone into alternative lifestyles, as used to be said years ago to describe those. Or maybe they're living in adultery, or there's premarital sexuality and sexual immorality, fornication, whatever it is. Listen, we're not going to like put a spotlight on one particular sin. What we're saying is, and what I'm saying is, and I'm convinced of this, studying this week, is that we have all been desensitized to the absolute rebellion of our sin against our God. And so the first person this morning who need repent is the pastor. So if you're starting to feel a little heat, like the AC's not working in your seat, just know it's real hot up here where I am. Because, again, none of us are exempt. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Christians, yes, we're forgiven. We're secure. That's the point of these verses we're looking at right now. But I want you to know, we still wrestle with sin in this flesh. And we must be quick to obey the command of God to put it to death. Do not nurture that sin within you. I'm Christian. I'm going to heaven. You're just getting ready to give me verses. Philippians 1:6. I got that one down, Pastor. You're getting ready to give me some more in here. That's good stuff. So I can just do what I want. No. We cannot just do what we want to do. We do what is pleasing in the eyes of God. One who is truly saved by grace is going to seek to please the one who himself is grace. Look at John chapter 10. Just to give context, look at verse 22. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us openly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep." That's a very theological statement. See, if you're hungry for the word this morning, it's evidence you're sheep. You're sheep. He said, verse 26, "You do not believe because you're not of my sheep." If you're sitting here right now, you say, "You know, I can't wait till this is over. I can't wait to get to that bake sale and get me some goodies and increase my blood sugar. And you know, I want to support the youth." And see, those are all good moral things. And we're going to pray and sanctify them so they will be healthy today. But if you're in this room and you're hearing this pastor preach his heart right now from the Word of God to you, and you're not interested, and you're just like, I just want to get out of here, you ought to stop right there and say, "Lord, please forgive me. Please help me. Please help me desire you and your Word." That's the prayer you should preach. You shouldn't just blow it off and you can't wait to bust out of here and have this guy sit down here in about 10 minutes and shut up and be done with it and have the final song so I can bust out of here and go live my life, my best life now. No, you should be saying, "Lord, I ought to want to know. This is you. You're my creator. You're speaking to me through Scripture. And I don't care. I don't want to know what you're saying." Listen, we ought to want to know. That's a part of our problem. Depravity. And the truth be told, every lost person does not want the truth of God. And that's exactly how I was and you were until you were saved by the Holy Spirit of God through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so notice verse 27. This is the promise to believers now. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them," have intimate relations with them, "and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, ever. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me." All right, notice where we come from. The Father has given us to Christ, verse 29, is greater than all, Jesus is, referring to the Father, "and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." So listen, you're in the Father's hand. You're in Jesus' sovereign hand, nail-pierced sovereign hands. And listen, there ain't no way the devil going to wade through those hands and pry them apart and you come out. If you're in the hand of the Father and if you're in the hand of the Son, John 10 teaches us we are eternally secure in Christ. The big question is, are you truly trusting in Christ? That is the big question. Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." What a great verse, Ephesians 4:30. I want you to turn one more time, and I'll leave you alone today. It's 1 John chapter 5. I'm sorry, on the notes, I noticed this about 11:30 last night, preparing for this morning, going over it again. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. I mean, our memory verse of the week is verse 13 here. So it's not 1 John 4, as the notes, I typed them in the notes. It's 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. The Apostle John says this, 1 John 5:11 through 13. "And the witness is this, that God gave us eternal life." Amen. What is eternal life? Define eternal life. Well, John did that in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 3. I've already quoted it once, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's Jesus' definition of eternal life. It didn't say, you know, get $200 and bypass hell, right? Skip hell, right? It didn't say you get to own the boardwalk. It says that eternal life is not a life with no difficulties and sickness and suffering and sorrow and temporary stumbling and sin. No, it doesn't say that. But eternal life is for you to have a true, real, living relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you don't sense that in your life, you need to pray. Because the Bible says, for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And to be saved is to receive the gift of eternal life. And that's what we need. We need eternal life. Verse 12, he who has the Son has the life. He's talking about the eternal life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have that life. So you see, there are two kind of people in the world, the saved and the lost. Dr. Rogers used to call them the saints and the ain'ts. All right? Verse 13, our memory verse for this week, and it'll be this week and next week as well. The memory verse, we keep them for 2 weeks now. The memory verse is this: these things I have written to you who, what? Believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you, Dr. David Skinner used to say at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary, do you know that 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 you're saved? Do you have the assurance of the Holy Spirit within you? Listen, apostasy does not mean that someone professing faith in Christ who is genuinely saved loses it. That is a biblical impossibility. Apostasy does mean that someone who once claimed to be a Christian has renounced the faith. You say, what do you mean claim? Well, if you're still in 1 John, in chapter 1, you'll see three times, if we say, verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8, if we say, right? If we say. See it? Chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You see, there are people who are professors but not possessors. The key is in 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, even in John's day and in Paul and Timothy's days, there were professing Christians who were not truly saved. In fact, John says this in 1 John 2:19. It's typed in the notes for you. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they were of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it might be manifested that they are not, that they all are not of us. Then I threw in the Adrian Rogers quote that I cannot forget. Many of you know that. The faith that fizzles before the finish had a fatal flaw from the first. And you see, today we have this epidemic of those who are deconstructing the Christian faith by saying, it's not true. I never really was saved. I'm walking away into real life. I'm charting my own path. I'm setting my own destiny. Well, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. Brothers and sisters, Christians, we must not depart from the truth. And if we're going to remain faithful, we must dedicate ourselves to teaching God's truth. We must learn it, we must live it, and we are to delight and love it. And we'll see that in the next message in this series. But listen, today, people deceived by demons start reading the wrong articles, listening to the wrong people, downloading the wrong stuff from the internet, and they abandon the faith. And so, my challenge to the Christian. Seek the truth. Pursue the truth. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're in this room and we're still living for the glory of God, we have room to grow, to experience His grace and His knowledge more and more day by day. Christian, do not sit idly back and coast. We have been doing that in the evangelical church far too long. Spiritual fruit only comes from the spiritual root. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, he it is that will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Christian, pursue the truth and the growth in godliness that comes through studying your scripture. An unbeliever this morning in this room, thank you for being here today. Thank you for listening to me as I have tried to preach God's truth to you today. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, please know that everyone in this room who now is, at one point in their life, they were not. See, no one's born a Christian. To be a Christian, you have to be born again. Just as I, in the eighth grade, heard the gospel, not for the first time, but I heard it in a way that I'd never heard it before, that led me to repentance and belief, faith. You, if you're in the eighth grade, ninth grade, 12th grade, graduate, if you're in your 80s and you're hearing for the first time, you can turn from your sin. That's repentance and faith. Trust in Jesus Christ. The gospel, as we close, is the good news that the just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people. You and me, everybody. I was right there, eighth grade, scared to death, sitting in a citywide crusade and heard a guy preach a very simple gospel message. God is holy and righteous, and I'm not. None of us are. The big problem in the universe is that God is holy and we're not. So how can we be acceptable in His sight? He provides the remedy for that biblical dilemma, if you want to call it that. God becomes man, and He comes, the Son of God becomes man, and He comes and He lives a righteous, holy, sinless life, whereas you and I have not done that. And He willingly goes to that cross, and He dies on the cross, and He bears the wrath of God, and He pays the penalty of sin that we owe God on our behalf. He is our substitute. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gospel is that the just and gracious God of the universe has looked upon hopeless and sinful people. And what did He do? He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, to bear His wrath against sin on the cross and to show His power over sin in the resurrection. Right? Jesus came back alive. He was witnessed by over 500 people at one time, so that everyone who will turn from their sin, that's repentance, and believe in Christ will be saved. I invite you to embrace the truth of God. There is hope for you today. And in just a moment, Brother Kenneth's coming up, and we're going to have our response song, and we'll be done today. And remember the bake sale at the end. As you go out, be sure to grab some goodies. But let me encourage you, go ahead and stand if you would. And I want to invite you today, if you are searching, if God is working in your heart, if He is drawing you and you sense the presence of the Lord at work in your life, I want to encourage you to have a freedom to speak to your parent. I want to encourage you to come and speak to your pastor, one of the pastors today. We don't stand up here just to get our exercise for the day walking up here from our seat. We're here to minister to you through prayer in some way. We'd be happy to speak with you, pray with you, and schedule a time to go deeper in this conversation later. That we may not seal the deal here, that's fine, but we'd love to talk with you today. So let's worship in response to God's grace. And if you have a burden to come, and if you need Christ, we invite you. Maybe one friend would say, I'll go with you, and let's go talk to one of the pastors. We invite you to respond today.